Well, today we are going to begin a new sermon series on prayer, the need for prayer, and the directions that we need to go. And in that, I would like to start on the first sphere that we're going to be teaching on. And if you'll notice, the first sphere, they are in order up front here, starting here on the purple with religion, and then working across to the green, which should be arts and entertainment. Okay? And so as we look at these things, we come to a reality that God has given us different areas in our lives, different spheres of influence, and we need to use them as spheres of prayer, because religion, family, religion, family and marriages, education, business, government, media, arts and entertainment are seven of the largest areas of influences in our lives, and almost everything is wrapped up in them. Okay? Now, do these spheres ever overlap? Does religion ever play into government? Well, they want to say it don't, but it do. Okay, considering our Constitution and Declaration of Independence are based on Scripture. All right? They want us all to forget that and act like that never happened. But I ain't an idiot. What's the saying? My mama didn't raise no fool. So as we look, the different pieces do. They all intermingle. And the lines get blurred. But I want us to understand each of these areas needs prayer. I don't want us to pray blurred. I want us to pray focused on specific areas that we can concentrate the power of God. Because right now, dear friends, we are the last line of defense. Have been for centuries and haven't realized it. But when we look around in our world today and we see government falling apart, we see media becoming extremely liberal, we see business cheating people and doing everything they can to make a buck rather than help their employees, okay? Hey, I don't have anything, there's nothing wrong with the capitalist style of life, but let's not forget our employees and their loyalty to us, right? So, but as we look at these different areas, we have to see and understand that God has in them built a reality of power, and that power is being influenced through this world, and we need to take it back. We need to take it back and give it back to God, who initiated all these different areas of influence and power. Because as we do, as we claim each one back, will help to see this world change. Now, does that mean we're going to change this nation? No. No, we're not going to change this nation. But we will change people in the nation, amen? We will change lives. We will connect with people in religion. We will connect with people in families and marriages. We will connect with people in business. We will connect with people in the media, in the government, in education, and we can help to bring those people to the place of understanding God's grace, God's wisdom, God's power, and that's where we need to go. So today, I'd like to begin with the first sphere, because as we open our hearts to God, it is from Him that we will understand that in the book of Ephesians, He says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So you see, dear brothers and sisters, though we want to blame what's happening in religion and what's happening in government and what's happening in education on people, we need to understand people are puppets. The evil one, the rulers, the authorities, the principalities and powers in the spiritual world use us. They lie to us. They direct us. And they pull us away from the will and way of God. We need to come back to that reality. We need to come back to the Word of God, and we need to be men and women of Christ. So if you would, please, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be reading this in the NIV. But you may follow me in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verses 17 and reading through 19. I'll wait until you all get there. Give you a little bit of time. Now, the reason I'm reading it in the NIV today is because the King James start, or the NASB starts it in the middle of a sentence. And I don't like the way they've broken it up in the NASB. It's not that it's a bad translation, it's not. It's a good translation. But I like the way the NIV actually begins verse 17 as the beginning of a sentence. And it says this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul here, as he is reading this word, as he is giving us this word, he's giving this word to people, to individuals. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Okay? One of the things that the folks know who are in Bible study with me right now is the book of Ephesus is one of the few books of the Bible that was not written to correct a problem. The book of Ephesus was written because the church at Ephesus was striving greatly and succeeding well. And Paul said, okay, now it's time for me to teach you deeper things. Now it's time for me to get you off of the milk and onto the meat. And that's exactly what the book of Ephesians is. The book of Ephesians is another step, another level of indoctrination into the life of Christ in the church. So here, as we look at this, we are to understand, you know, Paul is saying something here, but why is he saying that he keeps asking God that He may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes and our hearts may be enlightened? Why does he ask this? Well, he asks it for a very simple reason. How many of you here are not bothered, bombarded, or plagued by the pulls and constraints and pressures and stresses of this world? We got it made. Absolutely nothing bothers us, and nothing comes into my life that strains or stresses me in my relationship to God. I hate to tell you this. Every morning you wake up, you're straining and stressing, aren't you? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more it seems to strain, and I'll guarantee you it stresses a whole lot more. And that's just on a physical reality, because the body ain't what it used to be. But in a spiritual reality, in a mental reality, in a living reality, we all know that we are being bombarded every day by forces that are trying to steal away our joy, forces that are trying to steal away our hope, forces that are trying to steal away the power of God in us to accomplish all things. And I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church because we are the church. Amen? You know, it's amazing because how many of you wake up on a morning, let's say it's Tuesday morning, all right? And you wake up and you look in the mirror and you say, good morning, church. Does anybody here do that? Why not? Because you are the church. How many of you wake up and you say, oh my gosh, it's another day. I got to get myself together. The kids got to go to school. Well, they don't have to go to school no more because summer's out, right? Praise Jesus. Oh, you got it till Wednesday? Oh, you poor thing, you. Just wait until you're 19, 21, 22, working for a living, and you're going to say, man, I wish I could go to school today.
How about it, adults?
It's so funny how we wish our lives away, but it's so funny too because the evil one knows that very reality, and he'll steal it right up from us. But we need to remember every morning when we get up, we need to take upon ourselves the reality that we are the church, and God has given us promises as the church, hasn't he? If you would wake up every morning and you would get up, jump out of bed. You know, Brother David says, how does he say that? He springs out of bed and does somersaults into his pants. Miss Amy, is that true? No. Not anymore. I love that. But if we would wake up, get ourselves up, and say to the Lord, good morning, Lord, it's me, I'm here. What do we have planned today? The church is ready to go. Do you think your day might take a little bit different venue? I'll tell you right now, this is how Pastor gets up in the morning. Don't talk to me. I need coffee. Why do I do that? Why don't I wake up and realize who I am, what I am? I don't need that coffee. What I need is in me already. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit in us, willing to give us the true power of God. But we have bought into a lie, and we have allowed ourselves to come under the restraints of this world. Yes, we are physical beings, but there is a spiritual reality here for the church that we need to understand and take a hold of. And we need to realize that the Apostle Paul here is speaking to each and every one of us as we move forward in our faith. Because the world enters into our everyday, and we don't even know it's happening, do we? How many of us turn on the radio on the way to work, and the songs that we listen to or the news that we listen to controls how we're going to get there, what we're going to be like when we walk in the door? You know, thinking about what just happened or what's going to happen when we get home. You know, I got these bills to pay. Oh, my goodness. You know, how am I going to do that? And all of a sudden, the things of the world are trapping us. Well, does God not say that he shall not forsake us nor leave us? Does God not say that all the things in heaven are his? All we have to do is ask for it and we shall receive. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Do we not have the promises of God that tell us that if God is for us, who be against us? It's so amazing to me because we have allowed the world to walk in. In fact, we've allowed the world to walk in such a way that it has stolen a whole lot of our property, and we need to start getting it back. We need to start praying that the Lord will begin to infiltrate the gospel into the lives of our peoples. Every day we need to pray that God would allow the gospel of his love to rid the hodgepodge and hegemony of this world's ideologies and ideologies and replace them with the promises, the love, the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of us do that every day? If the church isn't doing that, is there any wonder the church is not an effective sphere in our world anymore? You know, the United States of America used to send out more missionaries than any country. Do you know right now, this is not a joke, Japan sends more missionaries to the United States than any country. Japan. That's a harsh reality. Don't know what happened there. That's a harsh reality. We are receiving more missionaries to our nation than we're sending to Japan. Japan is sending more here. Why? Because we have lost our edge as the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States. People are following the false teachings that are happening in the pulpits, and they're following them right into hell. And they're singing the hallelujah chorus the whole way. How many churches in Lebanon alone do you know have signed on to the homosexual, the LGBT plus agenda. Okay? I want you to think about that. There's quite a few. And those congregations are singing hallelujah. They think that this is good. God is great. You know, he just covers a multitude of sin and we're all getting in. Do we know that to be truth? No, it is not truth. I see two heads nodding no, three heads nodding no, four heads nodding no. You all ought to be nodding no. That is not truth. The truth is, God does not allow sin. Now, does the cross cover sin? Yes, if we what? Repent and sin no more. If we turn from it. But if we simply say sin is good and you don't turn, there is nothing you're repenting from, and hell will be your home. We need to pray for the church to become alive again. We need to pray for pastors who are going to stand up and preach the word. We need to pray for revival, for resurrection of pastors and parishioners within each and every church here in Lebanon, into Pennsylvania, into the world. Because unless we're praying for the sphere of the church, unless we are praying for her, remember, she's considered a woman in the scriptures, okay? Unless we are praying for our own body, you know, I think it's funny, how many of us will pray because we're sick? Oh, Lord, I don't feel good today. Please help me get rid of this cold. You know, when I broke my hip, I'll guarantee you I was praying for healing. Well, right now, the church's leg is broke, her arm is broken, her mind is growing dull. We need to pray that God would heal her and bring her back to her common sense. That's not just us. That's the church. We need to be praying that God would move in the life of the church, that it would become an effective tool once again. And that means it needs to start with us, because it does not matter to pray and then not do something with your prayers. I think that's one of the most amazing things that I see people do. You know, they'll pray for something, but then they don't act like they've got it. They'll pray for something. They'll pray for wisdom. Oh, man, that's one of the greatest things. I like, oh, Lord, please help me to deal with this thing. Just give me wisdom, and I'll move in that direction. And then they go around like they never even talked to God. What does the Scripture say? Ask for wisdom, and then go. Knowing that you've received it, and do accordingly. That means follow the Holy Spirit. Put one foot in front of the other. I love that Christmas song. Just put one foot in front of the other. I don't even know what that came from, but it just stuck in my brain. I think that had to do with the abominable snowman and Rudolph and whatever. I have no idea. But I like the song because it talked to me about, you know, if I want to get there, I got to go, right? I'm not saying secular things are good, but they can teach us some things if we're willing to listen to God in them. But we need to pray, and we need to pray long, and we need to pray hard. Why? That the eyes of the church and her heart may be enlightened, in order that we may know the hope to which we have been called. The church right now is living on a false hope. And when I say the church, I'm talking the great prostitute. She is living on a false hope. But within that great prostitute is the capital C church, the church of Jesus Christ. And we need to become part of the reality of helping to fix that church. Because there's a lot of people out there right now who are in the church, who are looking for truth, who are saying, this can't be right, this can't be right, this can't be right. And that means we need to be out there looking for them, asking the tough questions. You need to speak to your neighbor. Oh, you go to church? Yeah, we go to church. Well, what do you folks think about this? How many of us want to ask those questions? Well, what does your church think about the LGBT agenda? Oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to get into an argument. Why? Why? Jesus declared it. He walked up to the guy and he said, what do you want? And the guy looked at Jesus and said, well, I want to see. And Jesus said, tough, and walked away, right? No, Jesus healed him. Jesus interacted with people. He found where they were, what they needed, what they wanted, and then he delivered it. We need to pray that the church would begin to deliver the truth of God to the people. And that has to start right here with us. Because you're going to find that right now there's going to be a lot of families out there who are going to be having problems with this LGBT stuff because their kids are now going to be going to school September, and the reality is we may be finding young men in the showers with our daughters. Okay? We may be finding male teachers in the young ladies' bathrooms. Isn't that going to be fun? Oh, don't you think that's something that we should all be proud as Americans about? I'm not an American. I'm a Christian who happens to live in America. Amen? Remember your teachings. We need to begin to pray. The first thing that we're going to pray for, because I don't want to run us too long, because there's three more scriptures on this one, but I knew I was going to go long. So I'm going to take you to my end here. This is my end game. Go to Revelation 3:15. Go to Revelation 3 and 15, because here it is. I mean, these sermons are so packed full, I could preach on these things for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. This is coming to us from the National Day of Prayer, all right? This was to be a 40-day series leading up to, and of course, we didn't have that ability, so we're doing it after. This was our theme for the National Day of Prayer, and we're going to be looking at each of these spheres and how they've been influenced and how they've been drugged down, how they've been robbed of their power, and this perversion has been supplemented into them from the book of Revelation in the third chapter. Book of Revelation in the third chapter, beginning in the 15th verse, we read these words. Now I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Let us sup together. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's Christ's word to us. We are there. The church is a lukewarm mess. And God is about to spit her out. And we need to come alive again. You know, I never understood the section there where it says, come buy from me gold refined in the fire. And then I remembered the reality of what is being talked about there. To buy white clothes. To buy salve for the eyes. That's healing. And I began to think, you know, Lord, you know, how am I supposed to buy anything from you? He said, that's the point, you idiot. All you have to do is come to me and ask, and I'll give it to you. It's already been paid for on the cross of Calvary. But you have to come to me to get it. Come, ask me for it, and I'll give it to you. What's it going to cost you, people? The gift of salvation is free, but it will cost you everything in your life. Because once you've accepted the gift, he says, now, give me your life. This is what he means. We're going to buy the good stuff. We're going to get rid of this old stuff. We're going to get rid of this filthy stuff and buy from him. He's going to take our filth and give us refined gold, white clothes, salve for our eyes that we may see. Let us become the church. Let us pray for the church. Let us ask God to open the eyes of the church, the ears of the church, that she may truly be the church and come to the place of healing many. But that means we have to get busy, doesn't it? We have to be the church. Would you pray with me? Precious God, I thank you for these wonderful people who are here and for your word, Lord, because your word confronts us. Your word truly stands there as an affront to us or as a blessing to us. And as we are confronted with it, Lord, we see that we have fallen short too. So, Lord, I ask that you would move in each and every one of us here in the heart of Christ Church, that we would truly understand and know that we are here to be transformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, begin that transformation in us that we may go out from this place into this world and truly begin to help others transform. And may we pray for the church at large that she may be transformed by your grace, by your power, and by your care, that we may walk in the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit and capture back those who have been stolen away. For Lord, we know this world will end, but the body of Christ will live forever. For that is your promise, O Lord. And to that promise we hold and give our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.